Welcome. It was a lot more boring, but we're going to stick with it. Cool. So we finished the election. I dabbled a few weeks ago in how I felt about the election and voting. But for a newscast this past week, I was able to interview a political science professor. It ended up being a segment, just an election recap. And so I interviewed him for that, but I felt bad because I only took, 20 to 40 seconds of what he said in the interview. And we had, I think, about a 20, 22-minute interview. And there's some really cool stuff in there. And I think it's kind of important that we hear perspectives of people who are smart and know things. So we're gonna have Michael Lyons be the guest on this podcast. I spoke with him after because it was gonna be just for newscast. So I asked him for permission to put it on the pod, and he said yes. I told him that I wouldn't edit it, that I'd leave it the same, and he told me to edit it because he felt like he was being repetitive. So I still left it. I just felt like it was more important to have context of all the things that he said than to try to express what he said for him. So it's not a lot of me, which is probably refreshing for you guys, but it's a lot of me. I float some questions, and a few of them are more pointed than others. I was trying to stay just within my segment, but honestly, he had some interesting things to say. So I had some follow-up questions about future elections and how it looks and sort of the future of America. Also, if you notice, the audio quality has been a little different. The studio in which I've been recording has now been limited to one person. So if you guys wanted to hear a solo pod, which I know you guys are just dying for, then I could go in there. But because I won't be able to have guests, I have a new mic. Shouts to we call it the mother sponsorship. We have a my yoga. I'm not talking about my workouts. It's the name of the brand mic that I am using to record from home and on the road or wherever I'll be. So, apologize for that. What else? Do I have any election reactions? I don't really want to get into it, I guess. It's kind of goofy. I'm glad that I won't have a Twitter president. That's dope. Oh, actually, you know what I'll say? I don't know if you guys have seen this clip. It's The Office. Surprise, surprise. And it takes The Office, and it's this moment, and they assign roles to everybody. And I think that was my most accurate representation of the election. It was really funny. It had Andy was Joe Biden. Jim was the Democrats, which is unfair. I don't think all Democrats are that handsome, but neither Republicans, so I guess whatever. And then Trump is Dwight. And man, the clip really lands. It really felt good. But yeah, I don't want to kill any more of your time. Without further ado, we'll jump into Professor Michael Lyons. Oof, so it's been a long week for you, I imagine.
Yeah, it has been for both personal and professional reasons. I had a clear preference in the outcome of this election, and like most people who had a clear preference, it was a kind of an ordeal watching the votes come in.
Yeah, I actually want to just jump right into this. I wanted to ask you, I have some like more obvious questions, but I wanted to ask you kind of what stuck out to you about this election. I know you focus on domestic policy,
Right.
and so you're in the nitty-gritty of all of this. And so what stuck out to you about this election?
Well, it certainly was a mixed success from the Democratic Party. When there are fundamental rules that political scientists or models that political scientists have constructed of presidential elections. And the most powerful variable is the state of the national economy. And with the state of the national economy where it is now, and with an incumbent president whose approval rating had never exceeded 50% at any point in his term, one would have expected a blue wave election or something close to it, a decisive Democratic victory. Instead, what we got was a fairly comfortable popular vote margin for Joe Biden. Now, he will win by probably close to 5 million votes ultimately. So the presidential election was not out of the bounds of what you would expect, although a little bit disappointing for Democrats, given the models that exist. The congressional results were definitely disappointing to the Democrats. They've lost probably 4 House seats, maybe 5 even, or 6, and did not gain much in the Senate. Have definitely gained 1 seat, may gain a 2nd, but it was a mixed outcome, given, say, the status of the economy and President Trump's lack of popularity.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And let's just go to that now. I thought it was interesting, thinking about winners and losers. I think as much as it was, an obvious loss for Republicans and that they lost the presidency, I would argue that it might even be, they might have more win. This might be more of a win as far as the election goes, considering that they did retain the Senate. They did gain some leverage in the House. And even though Joe Biden looks like will end up winning and has already won, it still looks like, it was a lot closer than I feel like Democrats were counting on. And it did come down to a lot of mail-in ballots. Would you consider this election to be a win or a loss for Democrats, or and then a win or a loss for Republicans?
Well, you've got to say it's a win for the Democrats, but it's a win by a narrower margin than anyone foresaw. President Trump's performance in the first debate was, I think, by all objective measures, a disaster. And it was so bad that it began to heighten Democratic expectations, perhaps beyond what was realistic. And there was a scandal involving the Democratic senatorial candidate in North Carolina that really hurt the Democratic Party's chances. That looked like a very likely pickup in the Senate for them, and that hurt their chances. And Senator Susan Collins in Maine performed on a surprising level that was way outside what the polls had forecast there. So there were a number of things that seemed to go a little bit wrong for the Democratic Party in the last 2 weeks. Certainly President Trump's improved performance in the second debate helped the Republicans. I think Joe Biden's admission that the United States will eventually have to replace fossil fuels, which is reality. It's the truth. Fossil fuels will not last forever. But sometimes there's no bigger enemy in politics than the truth. And you have to be careful about when you speak the truth, you have to be careful about how you go about doing it. And he wasn't especially careful. And his performance in neither one of the debates was particularly inspiring. It wasn't bad, but a much stronger debate performance by Joe Biden might have made the difference between a relatively modest set of Democratic gains to something closer to a blue wave.
Yeah. What do you think was the key for Biden's victory in this election?
Oh, that Donald Trump is very, very strongly disliked by a little bit more than half of the voting population in the United States. And I've seen unpopular presidents before. Jimmy Carter was an unpopular president, and in my view, not a particularly effective president. George Herbert Walker Bush was not a particularly popular president, but I thought an effective president. But in my lifetime, and that includes even Richard Nixon, I've never seen anything like Donald Trump. The degree of antipathy that he created within the ranks of virtually every Democrat and a very substantial percentage of independents, the degree of antipathy that he created is unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah. So would you say that it had less to do with how Biden ran his campaign so much as the effect that Trump has had on the nation?
It was a loss for Donald Trump, not a victory for the Democrats. Joe Biden may prove to be a very good president. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being, but he was not a strong candidate. His age worked against him. He's never been a particularly dynamic speaker. He didn't have a lot of original policy ideas. Was not a Barack Obama or even a Bill Clinton. And so the Democrats were able to win with, I wouldn't say a weak candidate, but not a strong candidate, not a dynamic candidate, not a Barack Obama. They were able to win because Donald Trump, more than half of all Americans, thoroughly despised Donald Trump.
Yeah. How do you think that bodes for Republicans in the next presidential election?
Well, the Republicans face some difficult choices over the next 4 years. There are many people eyeing 2024 already, looking at the Democrat situation, thinking Joe Biden would probably not run for a second term. And, you know, it's hard to foresee the future always. But if Joe Biden decides not to seek a second term, this does not mean that the presidential nomination will simply fall in Kamala Harris's lap. It hasn't been that simple in the past. Vice presidents are not necessarily the best positioned people to be presidential candidates. They serve as second bananas, as sidekicks, and have other things working against them. So there's a good chance that there'll be a wide open situation or a competitive situation in the Democratic Party in 2024. And that's a long way ahead. But Republicans looking to 2024 have to think that it could be a good, that there could be good prospects for them to recapture the presidency. And who knows what the internal dynamics within the Republican Party will be. Certainly there are a number of prominent Republicans who would like to tear down the entire Trump edifice and build something new. But Donald Trump remains extremely popular within the ranks of the Republican rank and file. And the people who support him, in many cases, emphatically support him. And any future Republican candidate needs to deal, maybe not so much with Donald Trump individually, but needs to deal with the people who support the president so strongly, and needs to understand the reasons why people do support him, and needs to hold those people into the party while broadening the party base and creating a new kind of Republican Party, at least to some degree.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Just a quick yes or no on this one, but do you think that Trump would run again in 2024?
I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. He will be as old then or older than Joe Biden is now, just about exactly the same age. I think he may try, and I think that could lead to an extremely difficult situation within the Republican Party if he does try.
Yeah.
Because there are people on the next tier, for example, former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, and a whole generation, new generation of Republicans, like Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse, who appear to be eager to get their chance. And Donald Trump stands in their way, potentially. Donald Trump would probably be in a good position to play kingmaker in 2024. But again, this is all 4 years off.
Right.
4 years. We see almost as much political change in the United States in 4 years in this era as we saw in 20 years back in the middle of the 20th century. And there may be a completely novel set of issues to deal with. Look at coronavirus this year. Has transformed the character of our society and was clearly a significant issue in this campaign. If it hadn't been for coronavirus, the national economy would be thriving right now, and quite possibly Donald Trump would have won re-election. And quite possibly the Democrats would have run a different kind of candidate than Joe Biden. In a time of national crisis like this, Joe Biden is a safe and comforting choice. But without coronavirus, maybe the Democrats would have opted for a more dynamic candidate like an Elizabeth Warren.
Interesting. That's some cool analysis there. I never thought about that. Cool. So just one last question. I don't want to take up too much of your time. But in this election, we saw the largest amount of votes for a candidate ever and the second largest amount of votes for a candidate ever. What do you think the key was to the large turnout? And do you think that it will repeat itself, or do you think it's a one-time situation?
Well, a smart-ass answer to that is the population is growing. So, of course, turnout's going to increase over the long term. But no, you're right. There was a surge of turnout this year. And I don't know what the final figures will indicate, but it may be the highest turnout we've had in decades in a presidential election. And there are simple reasons for that. The most basic reason is that such a large part of the electorate, again, almost all Democrats, truly despised Donald Trump and saw him as incompetent. And frankly, an international embarrassment. And as much as there was strong sentiment on that side, there was equally strong sentiment, if not even stronger sentiment, on the other side. Now, many of the people who support Trump don't support Trump the way the typical Biden voter supported Biden. The Trump supporters are fervent. In Salt Lake City one day, I was doing a little shopping right downtown on 4th South, and a parade of pickup trucks honking their horns, each with Trump flags, went by. And that level of enthusiasm is rare. In American politics. And, you know, I've been very tough on President Trump in this interview. But let me state, the people who have supported Donald Trump are angry about the fact they've been ignored largely by political candidates and by the elite establishment, as they would frame it, perhaps. In recent election years. And there's a lot of validity in the feelings these people have. And Trump spoke their language, and it's been a long time since a candidate has spoken to these people as directly and as effectively as Donald Trump did. Now, I would argue that he did a lot less for these people in policy than they would have perhaps would have hoped. But he spoke their language and he made them feel included. And that was critically important. And it's critically important to both political parties down the road to recognize that. And I expect the political parties to be competing vigorously for the support of these people who feel as if they have been neglected, have been excluded.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think, I can't remember who pointed it out, but you mentioned sort of the hate for Trump. I think it's interesting because this is one of the higher population voter turnouts that we've had in a while. I think it's a funny, somebody said that this is the, like, all of these votes were because of Trump, whether they were for or against him. Almost a lot of the votes that were, you know, voting for Biden were less voting for Biden than they were against Trump. I think you've mentioned that. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, unquestionably. Very few people voted for Biden nearly as much as they voted against Trump, unquestionably. And really on the other side, there were some people who voted against Biden because the Republicans were very skilled at casting Biden as some left-wing crazy who wanted to take the country down the road to socialism, which was never true at all. Or they cast him as a captive of the left wing of the Democratic Party, which had no validity. But there was a certain amount of anti-Biden vote that was cast by people who were never that enthusiastic about Donald Trump, but who were Republicans and maybe favored an overturn of Roe versus Wade and maybe had doubts about certain Democratic policies, such as Democratic plans to contend with climate change. So there were people in the middle here who weren't enthusiastic about Trump and, you know, had doubts about his character and who cast anti-Biden votes because of the effectiveness of Republican messaging.
Yeah, awesome. I don't have any more questions for you. Is there anything that you'd like to add or any other thoughts that you might want to throw in?
No, I would encourage USU students and the USU community to stay politically engaged. Joe Biden's got a very tough road ahead of him as president. Donald Trump complained repeatedly about the mess he inherited from Barack Obama, and nothing could be further from the truth. The U.S. was at peace. We were making progress in our relations with other nations on several fronts, and the national economy was thriving. Now, Joe Biden is inheriting a mess, and COVID is the main reason for that. But our relations with other nations have deteriorated greatly over the last 4 years, and Joe Biden needs to rebuild those relations and rebuild the respect that the United States commands internationally. And we've also, again, this is partly as a result of the coronavirus, but not entirely, spent ourselves into a very deep budgetary hole. Our deficit for the year 2020 is going to work out to somewhere around $3 or $3.5 trillion. I don't know if anybody knows exactly yet, but we are in an incredibly deep fiscal hole, and our Social Security reserves are running out, and there's no end to the list of problems that Joe Biden has inherited. And I hope people recognize this during his presidency, and I hope somehow we can come together as a nation. I'm going to talk to my students, Democrats and Republicans, and ask the Republicans, what can Democrats do to talk more effectively to you, and vice versa? What can Republicans do? I think this is a question every person in this country should be asking right now, rather than digging these trenches and being so deeply suspicious of the other side, what can we do to get out of the trenches and learn to talk to each other? We're never going to agree, but we can disagree constructively. And we've lost touch with how to do that.
Yeah, definitely agree. Awesome. Professor Lyons, thank you so much for your time.
Okay.